Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Tracy. And thank you, everyone who stuck around for the last presentation of the day, even though we're a little over the expected time. As he said, my name is Christine Gelly, and I'm pursuing a master's degree at the University of Tennessee, focusing on forage quality and management. And today I'll be presenting the results of an experiment on the nutritive value of switchgrass and Sudex as influenced by forage management. The significance of this research is attributed to the impact of forage production on Tennessee's agricultural sector. In 2013, over 2.5 million acres of Tennessee's farmland were in production for hay or for haylage. The majority of this farmland was composed of cool season grasses, whose optimum growth temperatures range from 20 to 25 degrees Celsius. However, in the Mid-South, temperatures during the summer consistently are above that optimum range. When the heat of summer sets in, these cool season grasses exhibit summer slump, where they pause growth and reserve resources until temperatures cool again in the fall. It's during that hottest part of the year that warm season grasses, like switchgrass and Sudex, reach their peak production, with optimum growth temperatures between 30 and 35 degrees Celsius. Therefore, the incorporation of more warm season grasses into forage production systems could provide more available biomass for grazing or hay production. It is known that warm season grass yields are often higher than that of cool season grasses. However, forage nutritive value is lower. That lower forage nutritive value is attributed to a higher higher fiber content, which is attributed by lignin content. In order to incorporate these warm season grasses into production systems, information needs to be available for the producers. Our producers need information on how to estimate forage nutritive value in the field using a practical method, and we hope that experiments like this one will be able to develop a method to do so. Our objectives for this experiment are to document how forage nutritive value and herbage mass accumulation of switchgrass and Sudex differ among cutting strategies. We also hope to develop a predictive model for estimating forage nutritive value based on the herbage mass of these two species. We expect to detect significant relationships between herbage mass and forage quality factors. We also hypothesize that implementing different cut initiation dates will affect forage nutritive value at a future harvest or grazing event. In this experiment, switchgrass variety Alamo and Sudex variety FSG208 VMR were subjected to a field experiment during the years of 2013 and 2014. This experiment was set up as a randomized complete block design with subsampling and four replications. Switchgrass received five management strategies as the treatments, four of which were initiation dates occurring in June, July, August, and September, in which one cut was implemented for the whole growing season, with sampling occurring weekly following that cutting date. Therefore, we call these cutting events initiation dates. Sudex received the same management strategy treatments, with initiation dates occurring in June, July, August, and September. We excluded June initiation due to the establishment of Sudex at the beginning of June. The fifth management strategy that I mentioned was based on the conventional methods of height prescribed cutting, in which we cut the swards when they reached a certain height down to another prescribed height every time they reached that growth height, rather than at a specific set time throughout the year. The monthly cutting initiations were implemented during the first week of the month, at which time the sward was trimmed down to 20 centimeters, and then samples were taken weekly afterward. Height prescribed cuttings were implemented whenever the sward height reached 76 centimeters and were then trimmed down to 20 centimeters, with weekly sampling occurring thereafter. From each sample, a subsample was taken and separated into leaves, stems, and dead material, dried to a constant weight, and then ground to 1 millimeter and analyzed using near-infrared spectroscopy to determine nutritive value. And for this experiment, we focused mainly on crude protein and neutral detergent fiber digestibility. Let's look at the crude protein results for switchgrass. When we look at this display of the graph, 2013 will always be displayed on the left and 2014 on the right, with monthly initiation data on the top and height prescribed cutting data on the bottom. When we look at the crude protein by monthly initiations, there doesn't appear to be much of a difference between June and July initiation dates. However, August starts out with a lower crude protein and decreasing from there at a similar rate as the other two initiations. When we look at crude protein by height cutting, in 2013 there appears to be little difference between the first cutting and the second cutting. However, after the third cutting, crude protein begins to decrease. However, in 2014 there was a steady decrease of crude protein over time. When we look at neutral detergent fiber digestibility of switchgrass, we observe a similar pattern with digestibility decreasing over time once again. In 2013, there's little distinction between monthly initiations depending on the time of year. So in June, with the June initiation, when July was implemented, they both observed the same fiber digestibility value, decreasing at a steady rate. However, in 2014, the pattern was not as distinct. However, the crude protein for the first value was about the same range for each treatment and then decreased steadily from that point. When we look at NDFD by height cuttings, once again we see that there's little difference between the first cutting and the second cutting, and then a lower value is observed here after the third cutting. That pattern did not really occur here in 2014. Rather, all the NDFD values, except for this very last one, occurred within the range of about 30 to 36% of dry matter. We used the following data to construct a herbage mass growth curve using Gompertz equation. If you notice, on the x-axis we have total dry matter in kilograms per hectare and the date of the year here on the y-axis. When comparing 2013 and 2014, you can see that the rate of growth in 2014 was much faster and peaked at a higher rate than we observed in 2013. And we attribute this difference to having a very rainy summer during the summer months there in Tennessee. When we look at the herbage mass by height cutting, it is harder to predict where that yield will plateau because there was such a short time in between when the cutting occurred. If you remember, previously in the beginning of the presentation, I mentioned a September initiation. However, we did not include that initiation data on these graphs because in 2014, the ground conditions were too wet to do a September cutting for switchgrass. Therefore, we just eliminated that from our analysis. Let's move on to Sudex and see how those patterns were observed there. In 2013, we see a decrease in general, as well as in 2014, of crude protein over time. However, we do see some abnormalities. If we look at monthly initiations in 2013, in September, we have an abnormally high value here with about 18% crude protein of dry matter, which is much higher than we observed for either July or August. Then looking over here at 2014, we observe a much lower value at only 3% crude protein of dry matter. We expect that this low value was due to high weed pressure and lack of regrowth after the September cut, after the September initiation cutting. Oops. When we look at the crude protein by height cuttings, there is in 2013, there's not a nice steady decrease in crude protein, but we do see that it does eventually decrease over time. In 2014, we do have a steady decrease across the season. NDFD of Sudex, however, is not comparable to what we saw with switchgrass. If you notice, our values do not follow an easy to distinguished pattern. In 2013, we can see that NDSC does vary within cutting initiation, but these between initiations, so July behaves differently than August, and August different than September. However, within those treatments, the NDSC does not change very much. In 2014, we see that there are values at both the top and the bottom range of digestibility in each of the initiation dates. And therefore, this suggests that there's not really a relationship between NDSD and the initiation. When we look at height cuttings, again, in 2013, the pattern is not very distinguishable. And there's not really any significant difference between those values. In 2014, it appears that we actually see an increase in digestibility as we go throughout the year. And we think that these digestibility values are attributed to the characteristics of the BMR variety, where lignification doesn't really occur at the rate that we see with non-BMR varieties. When we look at herbage mass accumulation of Sudex, we can see that there are differences between 2013 and 2014 July initiations, with 2013 being over 6,000 kilograms per hectare more than we saw in 2014. However, August and September initiations behave similarly. Looking at height cutting, the patterns are similar. However, in 2013, we see a much higher regrowth occurring after the third cutting. We use those results to run a regression analysis to determine if there was a relationship between crude protein or NDFD and herbage mass. On this slide, we see the relationship of switchgrass crude protein and herbage mass, with crude protein percentage on the x-axis and herbage mass on the y-axis. There was a strong relationship detected for switchgrass, with about 80% of variation being attributed to herbage mass for crude protein in 2013. And if you notice the height cutting values here, if we were to plot that regression line on the same scale as the monthly initiations, they would follow the same trend line. Therefore, we believe that this could be used as a way to estimate crude protein based on herbage mass. When we look at NDFD and switchgrass and the relationship between NDFD and herbage mass, the relationship is not as strong. However, if we look at 2014, about 73% of variation is attributed to herbage mass. And again, if we were to use those lower regression lines and plot them at the same scale, we would see a similar pattern. Though this relationship is moderate, we would like to do more research to see if this could be implemented as a predictive model or not. When we look at the relationships of Sudex, we see similar behavior for crude protein, and we see a moderate to strong relationship between crude protein and herbage mass. However, as we mentioned before, NDFD and herbage mass seem to have little to no relationship, suggesting that this method would not be useful to predict a forage nutritive value. In conclusion, both switchgrass and Sudex, in order to retain nutritive value and regrow, the first cutting should occur before the month of August. We also conclude that there is a strong linear relationship between herbage mass and crude protein in both switchgrass and Sudex, which could be used to estimate forage nutritive value based on mass. And third, although there is a moderately strong relationship between NDFD and herbage mass and switchgrass, the same is not true for Sudex, suggesting that mass is not a reliable predictor of digestibility in this case. However, we would like to see future studies on these relationships performed with other warm season grasses. And at this time, I would like to thank the University of Tennessee for allowing me to conduct this research and present it to you today, as well as my major professor, my graduate committee, our technical staff, and interns for all their assistance throughout this project. And at this time, I'll take any questions that you have. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
If I missed this, I'm sorry. How does forage maturity fit into this? Were they all kind of topped off, cut the heading off? initially and then she triggers her?
The question is, how does maturity play into the monthly initiation treatments? At the beginning of the experiment in May, we trimmed all the swords to 20 centimeters to begin at a constant value for all treatments. And then from there on, one treatment was the June initiation. So 4 plots were cut in June. And then in July, 4 more plots were cut. Then in August, 4 more. And then for the ones that had a September initiation, 4 in September. And then the height treatments were all trimmed at the same time at the beginning of the year and then monitored throughout the entire experiment since that first cutting served as, when we did the first cutting, it served as the initiation for treatments. So every time we did a sampling, we sampled the height prescribed cutting treatments. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If I got you well, you mean you ignored the September harvesting for some reason. And now when you're concluding that, I mean, the value will be booty for the first cutting happens before August. I'm finding like, I mean, you are judging without data with regard to the September cutting.
The question is, how can we make a conclusion on if it's best to cut switchgrass before August if we're lacking the September initiation data from 2014? And that's a good question. If we are able to replicate this experiment again next year, I would like to do so and compare the results and see if that September initiation would factor in to whether the cutting date truly is best to occur before August. However, I would be confident that we would still go with that conclusion. Any other questions? Yes?
I was wondering, you may have mentioned it about nitrogen fertilization, how much nitrogen do you apply, and do you have the same results if you have different rates of nitrogen applied?
For this experiment, the question was, how would these results differ based on nitrogen application? For this experiment, we used a constant nitrogen application for all treatments with a 60 pounds per acre application at the beginning of June. It would, because we know that switchgrass is responsive and Pseudics are responsive to nitrogen fertilization, if we applied a second, if we did a split application and applied again in July, I believe we would see a significant increase in herbage mass accumulation. However, for our study on nutritive value, we didn't really see a split application being beneficial in this case.
Yeah. Do you have any data on acceptability of the material to animals in terms of palatability?
The question is, do we have data on acceptability by the animals or palatability? In this case, we did not monitor animals grazing this particular forage. However, after we simulated the cut initiations or high prescribed cuttings, we then took that trimmed forage to animals and fed it to them in the field. And there was a preference for Pseudex over switchgrass. And you could tell whenever we cut the Pseudex, all the cows would come to the fence from the neighboring pasture and just salivate everywhere because it smells so sweet. So I believe that there's definitely a preference for Pseudex over switchgrass, but we did not take intake data for this experiment. Thank you, everyone.